This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December the 18th, 2008. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Next item, draft advisory opinion 2008-17.
Mr. Chairman, I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda document 0843-A, the draft advisory opinion, responding to the request by the Missourian for kit bond and kit pack labeled draft C.
Without objection, so ordered.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. There are three draft opinions before you that respond to a request submitted on behalf of Missourians for Kit Bond at Kit Pack. Missourians for Kit Bond is the principal campaign committee of Senator Christopher Kit Bond. Kit Pack is a non-connected multi-candidate committee associated with Senator Bond. As you know, Senator Bond is co-authoring a book, and Missourians for Kit Bond and Kit Pack wish to know if they may pay Senator Bond's co-author $25,000 to compensate him for his expenses, time, and effort spent on the book. All three drafts conclude that Missourians for Kit Bond may not pay any money to the co-author because such payments would be a personal use of campaign funds. Draft A concludes that Kit Pack may pay no more than $5,000 to Senator Bond's co-author because any amount paid to the co-author would be considered a contribution to Missourians for Kit Bond. Draft B and new draft C conclude that Kit Pack may pay the full $25,000 because the amount would not be considered a contribution to Missourians for Kit Bond. The Commission has received no additional comments on drafts A and B and no comment on draft C. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to move approval of draft A that was submitted at the very outset. A couple of comments I'd like to make and then get outvoted. The agreement that I just saw a couple days ago made it clear that in the first agreement that was entered into with Simon and Schuster, there was an advance that was paid of $60,000, and each of the two authors, each of the two, Kit Bond and the author, who's undisclosed to us, are jointly and severally liable for the advance as well as any of their obligations. So they both receive the advance and it's unpaid. They both have a joint and several obligation to each other at this time. It also provides that if one pays the amount, there's a duty to reimburse the other, so that there's a parity of $30,000 that would have to be paid by each. But because there's a joint and several liability, Kit Bond and the undisclosed author both remain personally liable for that full amount. That's an important factor to me because it shows that there's a direct and continuing relationship between the two, and they both have an outstanding obligation back and forth to each other contractually. It further provides that if there is a successful publication, if Simon & Schuster declines publication, but there's a publication that does become successful, the first money goes to pay and reimburse, to pay back Simon & Schuster for that advance. So that if the second book is successful, then the money comes back, and both the author, who's undisclosed to us, and Kit Bond both have an obligation that's to be relieved by the successful publication of the second book. If the money is paid to Simon and the money is paid to the author, here it's really, in my view, to try and could be a number of factors, but one certainly would be to have a successful publication, and that would relieve the both of those from the personal obligation that still exists between the two. And because of the closeness of that relationship, I have a hard time believing myself that the leadership pack, which is Kit Bond's, would have made that payment irrespective of the position and the candidacy of Kit Bond. So I support draft A, and that's my position.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll support you, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Well, thank you very much.
because draft A most closely resembles where I'd like to end up on this, although It's not quite there, but pretty close. First of all, let me say that I really appreciate Senator Bond submitting this request. We know any number of people out there, when they see an ambiguity in the law, they think, oh good, that means I can do whatever I want to. And I really appreciate that Senator Bond, you know, saw an ambiguity and decided to ask for clarification. And, you know, to me, this indicates that he's trying to comply with the law. And I appreciate that. And I wouldn't want anything that I say at the table to be construed as in any way a slam on Senator Bond, because I really do think he's trying to do the right thing here, just trying to figure out what it is. I have a long history with personal use, going back to 1990, when I started at the House Ethics Committee. So I've been dealing with this provision of the law for longer than most, maybe not all the people at the table, but, you know, not sure about the chairman, but I'm...
Well, that's longer than me. That's before my day started.
Before your days. Well, I am a little older than you are. So I've been... Personal use issues are near and dear to my heart. I've been dealing with them for a long, long time, and I've always taken a very hard line on them. When we had the Hayward AO, the commission decided that, in that case, the candidate wanted to put up a link on his campaign website that would allow people to buy his book. And the consensus of the commission was that, well, it was de minimis, so it was okay. But even though it was de minimis, I couldn't support that result because, as I said, I take a pretty hard line on personal use issues. And I know that a lot of people read the statute, read 439A, and say it only applies to candidate committees, and therefore it doesn't apply to anything other than candidate committees. And when you look at leadership PACs in terms of their statutory framework, there really isn't much there. Leadership PACs are not a creation of the statute. There's practically nothing in the statute about leadership PACs, and there was nothing in the statute about leadership PACs until Hologa very recently, and that was only to say that, and we'll get to that later, that contributions that are bundled by lobbyists for leadership PACs should be included in that reporting regime. So the statute is largely silent about restrictions on leadership PACs, and given that silence, I can't quite get myself to the point to support a position that would allow a leadership PAC to pay for any expenses that would be deemed a personal use if it were paid for by the principal campaign committee of the candidate. And I appreciate that there have been obviously several drafts and several, you know, and there have been attempts, which I very much appreciate, by my colleagues to try and cabin in what the opinion will say to make sure that it doesn't go too far. But I don't think I'm going to be able to support the compromise. Although I think that, you know, reasonable people can disagree on this, and I understand how my colleagues get to the legal position that they get to, and, you know, I think I think it's a reasonable interpretation of the law. It's just not my interpretation of the law. So I'll hang in there with you, Mr. Vice Chairman, although I know we're going to be outvoted, and that's why.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm prepared to vote for draft C. The reason for this is I think this draft reaches the reasonable conclusion that the Senator Bond's campaign committee may not make a payment to the book's co-author for that co-author's efforts in preparing the manuscript for the second publication, but that his leadership PAC may make such payment. And this is because the leadership PAC has an independent basis, separate and apart from Senator Bond's candidacy, for its interest in having the book published. As the Vice Chairman pointed out, there was this, there was a collaboration agreement, but counsel to the requester has indicated that was with respect to when it was first, there were two different publishers who expressed interest in this book. The first publisher ended up passing on publishing it, and so it was then submitted to a second publisher. Counsel has indicated to us that that agreement referenced by the Vice Chairman only referred to the first publishing agreement, and that the collaboration agreement does not address royalties for any future publishing agreement, and that counsel has assured us that any future publishing agreement will provide that all royalties go to the co-author. So as with advisory opinions, we take the representation of counsel at their word, and we have language at the back of our drafts that says that if the facts are not as represented, then the protection afforded by an advisory opinion is not given. We take the requester at their word, and I believe that the result that we are reaching is consistent with the statute and commission rules and commission precedent. I certainly respect my colleague's disagreement, and we've had discussions about this, and I think that these are definitely good faith disagreements where I think I certainly respect their positions, and I think that they're well-reasoned. However, on this one, I disagree, and so for that reason, I'm going to be supporting draft C.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be supporting draft C, but this is a very close call for me. I think that, as Commissioner Weintraub pointed out, many leadership PACs, and I think perhaps this one, can be viewed as the alter ego of their founders. And so obviously they are interested in the activities of their founders, and this book being written by Senator Bond is certainly seems to fall into that case for me. I think draft C represents a reasonable balance between the law's relative silence, and I think some of us might like to see some additional guidance in this area, because I do think it's unfortunately not an area where there is a lot of guidance. But there is obviously a relationship between the member in this case and a leadership PAC. And when the commission adopted its final rules in 2003, it took the position that leadership PACs aren't presumed to be affiliated, and yet we know that they are in some ways associated. So in light of that fact, and we have to consider whether Kit PAC would make the payments to Senator Bond's co-author at even absent the setup of his candidate. And as I said, to me, this is a very close call. Kit PAC tells us in its request that its interest would exist absent Senator Bond's candidacy, and I do think it's important. All we really can go on is the requester's comments in its request and in its response to our counsel. But the AOs are therefore limited to those representations, and I appreciate the Vice Chair's discussion of the documents we've recently seen, and I share his concern that there appears to be some personal obligation created by that first agreement. However, counsel has told us that is no longer an operative agreement, and that there is no personal obligation in this case between Senator Bond and the co-author. And for me, that is an important fact. And if that were not the case, I would not be able to support this draft. So I think we can't ignore the fact that Kit PAC exists to advance Senator Bond's policy goals and thereby his political aspirations, all of which are intertwined with his status as a candidate. This draft, premised on the representation by the requester that there is no personal obligation that is being relieved by the payment of these funds, allows me to support draft C. Leadership PACs play an important role in advancing public policy platforms, but again, I don't believe we can ignore the fact that they are, in the case where they're founded by a member of Congress or someone who is seeking to become a member of Congress, they are certainly interested in the candidacy of that particular member. So I will support draft C, and I want to thank the work of our policy staff, particularly Mr. Buckley, in this matter. We've gone several rounds. I also want to thank the hard work of several executive assistants for commissioners. I don't think we would be here without the continuing dialogue between John Burrowman and Eric Hallstrom, who spent long hours discussing this and helping us craft language that we could all be comfortable with. So thank you.
I'd like to make one correction, if I may. In the agreement itself, there's two compensation allocations, and I ask for the record that this be made part of our public record to this agreement. And I understand that from the Office of General Counsel that the requester does not object to this so long as the author is not disclosed in the agreement, which the copy I have shows that it's been deleted. So I would request that the agreement be made part of the records for clarification. But in any event, it does say that With respect to the advances, which I understand to have been a $60,000 advance, 66% would go to the author, and the remaining 34% would go to bond, and that would be the obligation back. That would be the way they would be reimbursed, and that is the obligation which would have to be paid no matter what. Even if it's not published, it needs to be returned to Simon & Schuster in that proration. So there's a 50-50 sharing with respect to royalties, but the agreement also provides that if they do publish it through another publisher, then the money that they first get has to come back to reimburse the first publisher. So when I said 50-50 before, it's really 66-34.
Any other discussion? Did you move a vote on the draft you support?
Yeah, they moved to support draft.
Okay, so that was discussion on your motion. Okay, so on the motion to adopt draft A, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
No. That fails. 2-4, the two being the vice chair and Commissioner Weintraub in favor. The remainder were opposed.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve draft C, which is agenda document 08-43-A.
Thank you. Any discussion on that motion that we haven't already had on the prior motion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
That carries 4-2. Same basic vote, just flipped. Okay, next item. Thank you, Ms. Buckley.